Hello, everybody. My name is Bea Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. Today, I am talking to Lynn Saputo, Director of Recreation and Marketing and Interim Zoo Director for Springfield Park District. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. So starting off, I'd like to ask everybody, tell us a little bit about yourself and are you a Springfield native or what brought you here?
Certainly. I was born and raised in the surrounding community. I grew up in Rochester and attended high school in Springfield. I currently have three almost grown daughters, have worked in this area in a variety of capacities. And I have been at the Park District about 11, going on 11 years, not in this exact role, but I started out my career as the general manager at Aaron's Pavilion right before the doors were even opened. I helped open that hospitality and rental facility.
What did you like about working for the Park District? What kind of brought you to working in this type of work?
Well, when the position came open, each one of our facilities, we have a very diverse offering for a park district. We have about 15 to 20 different unique facilities, and the particular position at Aaron's Pavilion fit very well into kind of a niche background I had in the hospitality and event industry. And then I always tease I was a two for one because I was a graphic design and marketing major, which really dovetailed very well into a brand new facility that, you know, didn't have a huge budget for marketing and needed to get off the ground. What I love about the Park District is we tease or put in our tagline that it's a job with a view. I am fortunate in my position that I am in now to move around the district. I like to say I'm the director of fun. And so all of the areas that are in my director or recreation department and my teammates comprise a lot of the fun that you'll have at the Park District. So in addition to just having that be the content on a daily basis, I get to move around and have different offices with a view. We have the Nelson Center, Aaron's Pavilion, the Botanical, Washington Park Botanical Garden, and Carol Reese Memorial Carillon Complex. We have an indoor aquatic center and two outdoor pools. The Henson Robinson Zoo, which has been my new extra home on a more regular basis since last February, right before COVID hit. We have four golf courses, tennis courts, you name it. We've just got a lot of unique facilities, and then 38 beautiful parks. In the realm of getting to plan big events and work with programming and a lot of amazing recreation professionals, we're always doing something, which last year was a very odd year because all of a sudden the doing something came to a screeching halt.
And all those places are really beautiful. I always love going to Aaron's Pavilion and just standing outside and looking at the fountains. It's really beautiful.
It is, you know, that park and location, it celebrated its 10th anniversary last year, and I love to see it growing and changing already. You know, it was the newest park in the system when I came on board, and Aaron's just, it puts you in a good mood just to be out there. It's a gem for sure.
So out of all those places, the Henson Robinson Zoo seems to be the most different. What led you to having to take on this role there?
Back in February, we had our director of the zoo. He was afforded an opportunity to take a full-time position as a director at a small zoo in Canada. And what I have found, I took this role of a director of recreation back in the middle of 2014, 2015. And since my time here, you know, the zoo is a very unique demographic of staff. You know, you just don't have a pile of zoo directors in your backyard or zookeepers. And so it can be a little transient in that people are, you know, we can be a pass-through. There was many years when we had a zoo director who was here for quite a long time. Talon Thornton, you know, he was a local individual, so that sort of changed that dynamics. And then Jackie Peeler had been here as our zoo director for almost 18 years. And then suddenly we kind of started to go through a transition where we had some movement in staff. And really, as I have been fortunate to learn so much more about the zoo operations, immerse myself in just daily standards, it is the nature of any professional. You know, we hire seasonal zookeepers, so we're always going to have 2 to 3 on staff who are looking for a full-time job. You know, they're gonna keep applying and they're gonna keep moving on. And then on top of it, one will come from New York, one will come from California. You know, they're not just in your backyard. And that rings true with middle management. So we staff a general curator of all of our animal collection, who's over an animal care staff of 7, and then our zoo director. And so in this kind of modern state, I think potentially because we are a very small zoo, the days of having, you know, someone be here 10 and 20 years are probably behind us. But, you know, that's been a little bit of an adjustment and a learning curve. And it gets me back in the hopper a couple times.
Now, are you working on site? Do you get to see the animals kind of daily?
Yes. So that is another bonus, and maybe why I haven't been in such a hurry to fill the position, because I can honestly tell you, you know, I enjoy every minute of it. Presently, we're in our winter season, so we're not open to the public. We close around the end of December. This year, we closed early because we did not host our holiday lights event. That's what usually keeps us open through the month of December. But we have some downtime, if you call it that, in January and February, so we can regroup. And the animals are here 24/7. So the days that I get to be here, I'm fortunate that if I am around animals, you know, we take all the same necessary precautions as you would if you were around your peers. You know, right now I'm lucky that I'm in a space that I can go ahead and take my mask off. But as we exchange with one another, or the keepers and animal care staff goes in with the animals, we mask up. But we have January and February to get ready for our spring and summer season, which we're excited because we'll open back up in the middle of March. Right now we're slated for Saturday, March 20th, you know, COVID willing. But yes, getting to see the animals. I'm a crazy animal person. I'm the lady who talks to all the animals when I'm walking around the zoo. I'm sure I drive some of the staff crazy with that, but it is an amazing opportunity. Definitely a blessing.
Now, for all the kiddos and kiddos in heart, can you talk a little bit about the different types of animals that you have at the zoo?
Certainly. So we have about 80 different species. And what people may not realize is that modern zoos who participate in, say, being a partner or sustainability partner with AZA, which is the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, or with ZAA, which is, you know, different association. But we sometimes do not own our animals. You know, it's just like an art collection. Animals get moved around. And zoos in the US, there is something called an SSP, which is a species survival program. And these are what we like to call master geneticist matchmakers, who there is a database of every animal in a modern zoo setting that participates again with either AZA or ZAA. And those animals may be owned by another zoo, but they may be cataloged and on exhibit at our zoo. And we may get a call that if we've had babies, you know, our red ruff lemurs are a really good genetic match to maybe have more babies with a zoo in Georgia, say. And so we work very closely with other zoos to move the animals around and make sure that we are doing healthy populations, and that we are participating in what the SSP is the best recommendation. But for the animals that we have here, which, you know, may change from time to time because of that process, We have an Australia area where you will find wallaroos, our Harris hawk in the summertime. We have some animals who are warm weather and they go in for winter, but during the summertime, our Harris hawk is out there. And our female wallaroo, Daphne, just had a Joey, and it's so cute. It's not been named. It's so adorable, but that's very exciting. Anytime that there are births, you know, here on the property, you'll move through different regions, continents. And so as part of the species within Africa and South Africa, we have South African penguins. Those are warm weather penguins. So they don't like this time of year and they're not out this time of year, but they'll be super excited to get back in their pool when the weather breaks. We have wild African painted dogs. They're beautiful. And then we have spider monkeys. We're actually getting our spider monkey exhibit. We kind of move around the continent a little bit to South America. And that's where the primates start. And that's South America. Then we have lemurs from Madagascar and red ruff lemurs. We have langurs, which are another primate. We have these adorable titi monkeys that come out in the warm weather and summertime. Binturongs, or they call them bear cats, are a new species that came into our collection thanks to the Springfield Zoological Society. You know, they're our nonprofit partner who helped us tremendously in raising money to continue our mission here. We have North American black bears. We got two cubs almost 3 years ago. I can't even believe it's been 3 years. But they were rescued from Fish and Wildlife in Alaska. And we were put on a list to say, it's almost like adoption. You put your name on a list and if they call, you got to get your airfare. You got to get your means to get out there with a crate and pick them up and bring them home. And so we've had these two, they were not siblings. They were abandoned in the wild. And so we brought a male and a female cub back. And now they are big, giant, three-year-old tenacious babies. We have our barnyard area that you'll find your typical Shetland ponies, mule, you'll find goats and chickens. And then you kind of move around to North America where we have our red wolves. We have river otters, North American river otters. We have birds of prey, some amazing species in our aviary birds of prey area. Two beautiful bald eagles, some bobcats and cougars. So we have quite a variety. We are, you know, we turned 50 last year, which is not old because that is how old I am. And very exciting. We had to kind of pump the brakes on our celebration. But as we round the corner and hope for a, you know, brighter season, we're going to still be celebrating being 50 clear up until the anniversary of that this coming August. And so we're working on infrastructure and updating and modernizing some of our exhibits and things like that.
That's a lot. And you talked a little bit about collaborating with other zoos. I'm kind of wondering now, how has COVID-19 affected the zoo industry?
You know, it's been very hard on zoos because zoos across the nation, you know, whether they're for-profit or nonprofit, or if they're city-owned, we're a park district, we're a municipality that relies heavily on the tax base and the, you know, taxing income that we get. But a majority of the zoos are very dependent and heavy-handed in their attendance and their special events. And we are very fortunate here in Springfield, even in some of our surrounding areas, say in Peoria, in Bloomington, a lot of zoos had to lay staff off. Even though we were open the entire time, we never shut down once. We are considered essential workers. Animal care staff is going to be part of the Tier 1B vaccination, which we're thrilled about because we're responsible for the care of all of the animals here, some of which I said earlier are endangered species. So we couldn't shut down. We had to be open 7 days a week. And it has been devastating. We're fearful that some zoos may not make it through the pandemic. You know, thanks to the support of the Springfield Park District and being a facility that we have a mission to fund out of our operations, the zoo, you know, keeps chugging along. However, you know, there's all sorts of things that play into that make it more and more complicated to manage a facility such as this, you know, such a unique and expensive endeavor for a public agency. So that's kind of how we muddled through. We keep a pretty lean staff and, you know, we do we call value engineering. We do a lot with little and we get by.
And that's great. And I think people in Springfield would definitely come back and support you all and the zoo industry. I even saw during the winter, there were a lot of people. I couldn't even get a ticket to Zoo Lights in Chicago.
I know.
I couldn't even get a ticket to go, sold out. So I'm sure everybody's just itching to get back out there and see our animal friends.
Definitely. And you know, this, we couldn't open until July last year. We normally open in mid-March. So it was touch and go, and what are we doing and what events are we having and how can we open safely? But once we were finally given the guidelines and staff figured out all the nuances of distancing and cleaning and directional, you know, paths around the zoo, you know, this quickly became a haven for families because it was outdoors. You know, that's one of the safer places to be. It's a place to take family and children. You know, there weren't a lot of opportunities for families. You know, the typical things that were maybe enjoyed with outdoor water parks in the early, you know, onset and movies and things like that, and indoor birthdays and parties just couldn't happen. So, you know, this is the time of year when people are purchasing their season passes. It is the best bargain in town, in my opinion, to get a family pass and to be able to come again and again. You know, we have a children's playground. We're adding new play areas and different features all the time. We're focusing on becoming additionally, you know, botanical garden in nature as well as a zoo. So really expanding the offering for families and just being that safe place that they can rely upon, a healthy environment and a fun place to go.
Can you talk about some more of the new things people can expect to see when they come back to the zoo in March?
Absolutely. So we started over the fall and winter on a long-awaited update to our spider monkey exhibit. Last year, our spider monkeys were off exhibit. During that, their outdoor holding or yard area had to be torn down. And so that is going to be complete in the spring. We were super fortunate and very excited to learn that we were awarded one of the State of Illinois IDNR Museum grants for infrastructure. And we have two aging buildings where our lemurs and our langurs are housed. And those are getting replaced, renovated, kind of zhuzhed and curb appealed up. We're out of, I'll say, square footage, but, you know, we're looking to revamp and modernize those exhibits. It'll be a little bit before the construction kicks off on that. But complementary to that, the Springfield Zoological Society on our behalf applied for the Chippin for Charity OCI grant, and we were awarded a complementary grant to go with our new lemur and langur primate area, in which it's going to be an interactive children's play, nature play area, and it's going to have educational signage and interactive features and climbing structures that will talk about, you know, what it's like to balance like a lemur, just fun things like that. So we'll be working on construction of that over the summer. The keepers and our general curator have been, you know, moving some animals around. So just keeping an eye out for those fun little things. And last year, we just didn't know how to exist without our favorite events, the events that we open up with. And so we got really savvy with the things we could do that were added into your daily admission, since we can't have big events. And so we're looking to how can we add fun things for our regular Dr. Doolittle when we open, you know, in the spring, just so that your visit is still packed with all those tried and true fun things that, you know, you've enjoyed for years coming to the zoo.
I'm a little jealous because the kids are getting all these fun play areas and I want to be a lemur too.
Nah, you know what? Everybody can balance like a lemur. Everybody can climb through the obstacle courses. We are kids at heart. You can better believe that I'll be right up there alongside racing, you know, balancing, yeah, just like the next 12-year-old. So you come on out. We'll have a race.
That sounds fun. And just to wrap things up, where can people go to stay up to date with what the zoo has going on or just the Springfield Park District in general?
Well, you can always check out our websites, but I like to say that our robust social media platforms probably have the most engaging content, the most up-to-date information, whether it's a news blast on COVID things or just what's the next event. So the Henson Robinson Zoo Facebook page and the Springfield Park District Facebook page. You'll be able to get direct links to any of our programs, where to buy a zoo pass, upcoming summer events. So it's really a one-stop shop. And then, of course, tons and tons of pictures of adorable animals. So if you just need a happy fix, go to the zoo's Facebook page and troll through and see. And we've got some amazingly talented staff and volunteers who take those photographs for us. And it's pretty awesome.
Now, just one more question I just thought of. Is there anything going on with the Springfield Park District coming up? Any events that you want to tell our audience about?
Yes, you know, we partner annually with Capital Radio Group and different media outlets to open up our season. And probably the two that stand out the most in my mind right now would be Save the Date for March 20th. We don't have all the details down, but we've got some new exciting things. We're going to open up the zoo for the season on that Saturday. And then early in April, we're still verifying which park. We typically do it in Washington Park, but the Little Miracles 5K is a great partnership that, you know, we provide the space to host it. It serves a great charity here in Springfield. And so it'll either be at Washington Park on Saturday, April 17th, or in Southland Park due to having to step off legs of it. We haven't quite nailed down the location yet. So those are two that will kind of kick off the season. And just, you know, we're so fortunate that with phase four opening up this week, you know, head out to the Nelson Center. They're opening up public ice skating again. The pools are going to be back to full lap swimming at Eisenhower Pool. So just thrilled that we're going to be able to kind of stretch and offer some of the recreational opportunities that we've all been missing, especially with winter.
We're always looking for things to do, right?
Yep, exactly.
Is there anything else you'd like to add today?
A shout out that we're always looking for volunteers throughout the district, but specifically at the zoo. If you are semi-retired, would like to train to be a docent or learn to drive our train, we're looking for train drivers. We get volunteers who come out and cut diets for the zoo animals. So there's a whole host of opportunities. Corbin Gears is our education facilitator and volunteer coordinator. So if you call the main number and say, hey, I want to volunteer. If you're handy and want to help us build things, I cannot stress enough that it takes a village, and we rely heavily and would love, you know, to introduce you to some fresh air and some zoo animals, and you could help us while you're here.
To hear today's segment again, log on to nprillinois.org. Community Voices is on weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m. For Randy Eccles, I'm Bee Bonner. Thanks for listening, and good afternoon.